Yes, once again for this early start is throwing me. Hello, if you're watching at home or if you're listening to us somewhere, it's Full Course Yellow, our weekly chat session for In Pit Lane tomorrow night, Thursday nights at 9 o'clock on Channel 31 Melbourne. Also 9:30 with bonus content on the In Pit Lane YouTube channel on demand. And as I said, bonus content not just from our guest Michael Clemente, who had his maiden win in the TCR Australia Series at Phillip Island on the weekend. He's joining us and he has some interesting stuff to say that you won't see on 31. We've got some extra stuff with him talking about the current state of TCR racing and also the future of the category as well. We've also got bonus music from our guest, Ishan, and I think you'll be very impressed with him. You'll find out more about him tomorrow night, because Doc and I sort of, you know, we're putting up our hand. We've discovered him. We saw him. We were taking the pizzas up to the studio, and we heard him busking in the streets in Melbourne, and we thought, yeah, this guy's good. Let's invite him onto the show. Well, he turned up last night, and if you saw our behind-the-scenes live stream on the Facebook page, I think you'll agree that, yeah, he's a very talented young man. So that's Ishan tomorrow night on the program. Let's see who we've got joining
us. A word from the control room, sir. Would you lean a bit closer to your microphone, please?
I shall do better than that.
You are off mic.
I shall turn up the gain a bit, and I will also do that. There you go.
That sounds much better facing the right direction.
Magic.
Yes,
exactly. You're echoing those still, Stuart. So once we get our technical difficulties out of the way, I will pad a bit for us while these guys are sorting this out. Ishan was exceeded expectations. Not only was his music prowess lived up to the busking we witnessed, he also excelled in the studio, and for a first timer, with half a dozen cameras pointed at him and a probably a little bit more of an attentive audience and on the street going past throwing a few coins in a guitar case, he punched above his weight. He was very good.
He was extremely good. No, it's like last night's show. I mean, last night's recording of the show. You'll see the show tomorrow night. But it was a great show last night, even if we do say so ourselves. But it just, everything came together last night. It was a lovely smooth. No fire alarms went off for a change, which made life an awful lot better. But it was a great night last night, and Michael Clemente was a great guest as well. Interesting talking to him about TCR and his maiden win. I mean, that worked out really well. I mean, we had him planned to come on the show a few weeks ago, and he said, I'll come in after, if I can come in after the round at Phillip Island, I'll have more to talk about, because at that stage, he was sort of hinting, he was sort of hinting that, you know, I've got something, I'll have some news, but I can't sort of say anything at the moment. Well, what the news was, of course, was he had the new car, which is the Cupra. And he obviously put that to good use with the win on the Saturday race and the second place in the main feature race on Sunday afternoon. So yeah, it was a good meeting down there. Went down to Phillip Island. I don't know if anybody watched it on Jim. I think you said you had a look at a doc. You had a look at Saturday.
Got some. Officiating duties out of the way by just after lunch, and rushed back to get in front of the idiot box. And I thought it was, despite the lack of four wheels out on the tarmac, the cameras kept the well squared off on the amount. They didn't sort of mention about the field sizes, but it certainly was entertaining enough with the competitors in it. And also, we were talking off camera before last night, and also leading up, just about every media outlet was had a different angle on the weekend, whether it was an OnlyFans Lamborghini Audi running around, or it was a touring car master stash with Kelly and Holdsworth having words,
like I said last night, there was something in the water down there on the weekend. I've never seen so much aggro it was beautiful weather. I mean, fantastic weather, amazing conditions over the 2 days. I know Dave Stillwell was down there as well, also enjoying the also enjoying the schnitzels from, I think it's Schnitzel Republic, isn't it? The food van. But it was a lovely schnitzel that I had. But I was enjoying my schnitzel, and suddenly this, you know, this full-on NASCAR moment broke out. You know, boys have at it broke out amongst a couple of the production car guys, who got rather physical. That was calmed down pretty quickly, and no damage was done. But
stemmed from track on track first to off track, didn't it, Brett?
It was an on track incident.
A bit of biff on track first.
And then it sort of spilled over. There was a bit of heated discussion, and the discussion became more heated. And then, of course, we had Liam Talbot not holding back at all in his thoughts of Yasser Shahin's performance over the two races in the Australian GT series, the GT World Challenge Australia. So he was there as well. And then you had Holdsworth and Kelly as well in the Trans Ams. And yeah, it was an interesting weekend down there. But good racing on, even with the small fields in some of the categories. The racing was very impressive, and everyone seemed to enjoy it. And as Jordan we said, Cox they had a crowd.
Jordan Cox got in and off as well too.
There was another one with which we talk about on the show tomorrow night with Michael. I mean, Michael and Jordan Cox came together, and Jordan wasn't too pleased about that. But there was that was sort of a racing incident, and that was a forceful move by Michael, and he made his way past to win his first ever TCR Australia race win. So you'll hear tomorrow
Brett,
night.
Off air, we got a little bit of biased insight in-car camera footage of it, and it was quite legitimate, the passing move anyway, as well, though, too. We were very privy to that because Michael Clemente and Entourage were with us last night, and we were privy to the in-car footage of the passing move, the lead-up to it, and subsequent afterwards, and it was totally fair. I am not being biased at all. It was straightforward. The door was open.
It certainly looked like there was plenty of room that he was up alongside. It seemed to be a fair move there. So racing incident. No major damage was done to either car or either driver.
A little kiss the front and back, and off they went.
Yeah. But it was great to see a good crowd down there. And as we sort of hinted, we talked about them advertising on 3AW last week, and I'm not sure if they did any advertising on any other radio stations or anywhere else, or what they might have been on Nine or Stan or anything like that. But they had a really good crowd down there. I believe they were claiming 17,000 for the weekend. I'm not sure about that. Seems a bit. Seems a bit ambitious, but it was a good crowd. I mean, compared with what we've seen over the years for some other meetings down there, for similar meetings in what was called the Shannon's Nationals, and you know, against some of the state rounds and all the rest, it was a really good crowd. So yeah, congratulations to everybody.
I was very, very impressed. My view from pit lane was somewhat limited, but the fact that you could see cars parked up against the fence from the exit of turn 12 all the way down to turn 1. There was a multitude of people in the paddock when I wandered through there. I saw quite a lot of, obviously we're in the target demographic for all of the advertising, but quite a lot of it popped up on my social media and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, etc. on the way in. And absolute kudos to the organisers of the Speed Series. For those of people that didn't have Stan to watch it, there was a constant stream of updates on their Facebook and particularly on their Twitter, little vignettes. 30-second, 40-second cuts of the footage, which really helps you follow the action, particularly if you'd missed it in the broadcast. It was a great way to catch up after, two massive days of racing and what had actually happened on track.
Yeah, and I think that, and that was our guest last week on In Pit Lane, Michael Stratus, and his team, Rob James, In Pit Lane alumni, Rob James and his team were behind that. I was in the media centre and they were putting all of those clips together. They were getting the screen grabs and getting the stuff up really, really quickly. So that was good. They did a really, really good job of that. Unfortunately, we didn't get this time, and it certainly messed up our coverage a bit, or my plans for coverage, is that we didn't get the VNR that was Grant Rowley, who had been in charge of the PR for the series for the past couple of years, was very good in making sure that, you know, sort of footage was available to us, and there was a VNR package that we could, video news release that we could download within sort of a few hours of the meeting being finished, and that's now disappeared along with Grant, apparently. So the footage that we have tomorrow night, I had to actually take off of Stan. I'm waiting to see what the reaction is in terms of content ID on YouTube, because we will, I suppose we will see tomorrow night at 9:30. If you tune in tomorrow night on the YouTube channel and you suddenly see a whole bunch of stills. That was the other thing. There even wasn't stills available. Normally they make a package of publicly released photos that have got clearance for editorial use. And that wasn't provided as well, so it was not quite as easy for us to do the coverage on the news as it would normally be. But I shot a bit down there. The one thing that did come out of it in one of the one interview that I did catch up with Ken Begg from the GT4 series, the monochrome GT4 Australia series, was the news that, and I haven't seen it announced anywhere else, is the fact that there's going to be a 3-hour dedicated GT4 race at Mount Panorama in 2024 as part of the Bathurst International. And the plan at this stage is, as I said, a 100% GT4 race. And the plan is to bring in international drivers as co-drivers, so they'll have all of the regulars from the Australian series, but the plan is they'll open it up to people from overseas who may want to come along and have an opportunity to race a GT4 car at Mount Panorama, and that sounds like a very, very good idea to me.
Well, we know that Mount Panorama is obviously a massive draw card for an international audience. And when you consider the places that you can race a GT4 car around the world, you know, you can do 3-hour races at Daytona in the one of the support series to the IMSA WeatherTech Championship. You know, you can run GT4 in the Pirelli, supporting Pirelli World Challenge, or what used to be World Challenge in the USA. You can run them at the Nürburgring, all sorts of events in the International Endurance Series. So if you were going to try to attract either GT4 drivers or GT4 customers and customer teams down to Australia, you know, not having to race against GT3 cars is certainly a big plus. And if you were going to make the trip all the way down to Australia, I can think of, you know, no better prospect or unique selling proposition for a trip to Australia as an endurance event at Bathurst with GT4 as its main focus. You know, there's a multitude of cars in Australia. It's just getting them out of sheds or, you know, stopping them being used for as track day toys and being, you know, turn them into use as proper race cars that we look forward to. You know, and, you know, they started off with 3 or 4 cars at Bathurst. They had, you know, 5 at Phillip Island, you know, starting to get more cars turn up. You know, there was a GT4 car, a McLaren 570S GT4, proudly on display in the paddock.
And for sale, you are interested in buying that, Dave?
For you, my friend, we make no special price.
It was a nice unit. It was certainly getting plenty of attention too. And I mean, they are, as I said, coming up, we've got the full interview with Ken Begg coming up in a couple of weeks' time on the first Glenn of our winter Sol, series.
Glenn Sol.
Yeah. Carl and his team are really focused on delivering for that series. You know, certainly when you look at the performance that they have on semi-slicks versus the fastest Class X production cars, it's very similar sort of straight line. It's just they've got a little bit of aerodynamics just to quiet them down and make them a little bit more predictable to drive, but they're certainly not the downforce massive machines like you'd find in GT3 or GTE cars that are the next step up to the GT pyramid. You know, they're easily manageable. You know, you drive them on and off a trailer. You don't need, you know, 8 teams of 8 or 15 people with laptops to run them. They use 5-stud wheels, so you don't need any, you know, super special hardware to run them. You know, the biggest step up for the GT4 race will be a lot of them, I'm guessing, will be ringing up production car teams to borrow their overhead fuel rigs to do the refueling during the 3-hour race.
Yeah, I think
I'll ask two important questions. When do entries open? When do tickets go on sale?
Well, the entries will be open. This is not until next year. I mean, this is what Ken was saying. He said they had negotiated with ARG, the Australian Races Group, to run the event at the Bathurst International in 2024. I imagine that they will run at the Bathurst International this year, but not in the 3 hour. But yeah, when you look at it, it's also a perfect time of the year. If they want to get those sort of, you know, those gentleman races and those GT4 races over from Europe, I mean, what a perfect time, late in the year, coming into the Australian summer, the main part of the European season is over. We've got there's also people that you would imagine coming from places like Hong Kong and Thailand and all the rest of it.
Those drivers will be in good form as well, though, too, after their own season, not just perfectly finished their season and have got some spare time, or they might want to travel. They will be absolutely red hot off the pulse, like Stuart was just nodding then as well, too. So you're going to grab them at the peak of their ability and really keen to, you know, have a bee in their bonnet and come over here and try something different on a different track with a slightly different platform.
You might find that some people, particularly some of the Asian competitors who have got GT4 cars, may well bring the cars to Australia, and it would be a good idea if you're going to sort of bring one over and either try and sell it in Australia or leave it here and see about getting into the 12 hour if they decide to keep offering a GT4 class in the 12 hour. But although the thing is, at the moment, I think they were very happy with the numbers they had for the 12 hour, and I think that certainly a lot of the main competitors would be very, very happy to if there weren't GT4 cars running around.
Yeah, and overall numbers, they'd like to increase it by a smidgen on the Bathurst 12 hour across the board.
GT3 cars, not GT4 cars.
Yeah, I know GT3. But I mean, just as an overall weekend, 4 day event, they wouldn't mind just a few more cars. Not necessarily in a particular style, but yeah, just a few more, because I just want to grow it just that little bit bigger for a little bit more cars on track touring around for viewing
pleasure. Anyway, that was the GT4 cars on the weekend. Craig Thompson popped up a second ago online to sort of say about the Trans Am Race 3. The Trans Am racing was really, really good. If I was supercars, I'd be having a really close look at Trans Am at the moment, because the racing, those cars are very, very good to watch live. They sound good. They raced well. It was a fabulous dice between the two.
Nice of Nathan to go over to America and give everybody else a in the bun fight, really, I noticed.
Yeah, so we've got we had the weekend's race. It was very, very close. We had an incredibly close race for race three, and all of the races were close. And once again, it was a pretty good field. Wasn't the biggest field, but there are more cars yet again on the way. Everybody loved them. There's no doubt everybody that I spoke to on the Sunday said that they were really enjoying the Trans Am. They loved the racing, and cars looked good and sound good. And you've already got your Camaro versus your Mustang, but you've also got the Dodge in there as well. For the people who want to run that, so it's already got a bit more variety than the supercars.
It's still got a good mix of weekend for all, you know. You've got the Trans Am, you've got the open wheelers, you've got, you know, some TCR little fours. So they've got the mix right for the different events as they happen throughout the days. There's a bit there for everyone. So that what might obviously be it. It's not just a straight event where you're going to have Chev versus Ford like in the supercars, and you might have a Formula Ford race or some others like that. It really does have a good mix of competitive cars and something for everyone. And as they say, it's probably the second best track in Australia and still one of the best top 10 tracks in the bloody world down there at Phillip Island. Congratulations. And you said also, Brett, they've done some improvements. You got to see them firsthand a little bit more. They've had to close off, what, 10 to 12, I think?
Yeah, they've closed off round. They've lost some of the spectator area around the top end of the circuit to have more runoff area, and there were a couple of people who were very grateful for that over the course of the weekend. But the work they've done there, they're certainly spending plenty of money there, and in order to keep it up to spec, done a lot of work, and they're still doing work. There's more work happening out the back down towards the bottom of MG Corner. Looks like there's more sort of either parking or pit area going in there. I'm not sure what's happening there, but there's work going on there. There's work all over the place, so they're certainly doing certainly continuing improvements. It's not a, despite
there will be. There will be plenty for all the Victorian state races to check out next weekend at round three of the Victorian State Race Series. And I've certainly made it a point in my notebook of something to discuss with my BMW drivers about, you know, just how much the circuit has changed, and you really need to pay attention, you know, if not going for a walk around the track after the conclusion of Friday practice, you know, taking your time on your first couple of laps, whether it's in qualifying or on Saturday or practice on Friday, to really have a look at where you now can and can't drive, because there are a number of places where you could get away with sliding off the circuit. Now you can't do that with the addition of a number of extended gravel traps.
Turn one.
Yeah, the gravel traps are there. Yeah, have you had a look at that? Because Richard, you are racing at the state round next week.
You're not going to be able to bang doors at turn one and think, oh, that's all right. If it goes bad, I can just come back on the circuit. You're in, and you're going to bring out a full course yellow or something, if you pardon the pun. Because yeah, that's a big trap down there now.
And a few barrel loads of stones along the way as well, though, too, Richard.
Oh yeah, unlike times I've been down there and I've brought home half a paddock with me.
no green runoff area now to slot the tyres back onto. It's all gravel trap now.
I suppose the one thing over the weekend that is still a concern is the S5000s. Once again, they look fantastic. They sound fantastic. The racing was, you know, the racing was fine. Congratulations, Cooper Webster. It's getting really competitive at the front. You've got now, I mean, Joey Mawson was sort of, you know, it was in danger of sort of running away with it again, but now Cooper Webster's come back with inherited a race win because of a penalty in race two to Joey Mawson, but he won fair and square in race three, so he's very much on song now. So between him and Joey Mawson and James Golding, you've got some drivers there who are all capable of winning, but they still don't have the numbers that they would like, and it's still a real problem. The fight between supercars and ARG regarding what's happening with particularly with Joey Mawson, Premier Racing, who of course run Peter Zibras's team, who run James Golding in the supercars, have offered Joey Mawson the co-drive, the Bathurst and Sandown drive, but despite the fact that he's very well credentialed, not just in, you know, S5000 and winning two Australian Drivers' Championships, he's also got extensive international experience in a whole bunch of categories, including LMP2 overseas. But he can't get a gig. He can't get the license. He can get one from Motorsport Australia, and this is what. But supercars are saying, no, you've got to do six races in Super 2 before we'll let you drive. And as has been pointed out, for his six races in Super 2, it will cost him more than, you know, pretty much two series in S5000. So they're not keen to do at the moment. They're not keen to do that, and I think that could have possibly end up even in court, because you can't really have restraint of trade like that. It's just, Motorsport Australia have said, look, he's got all the qualifications, he's got the super license, he should be able to run.
It's not his game of cricket. If we say it's tippity run, it's tippity run. That's the rules. You've got to play by our rules, and you can't. And otherwise, we're going to take our bat and ball and go home. And you just, you know,
isn't that what Holden used to say about V8 supercars for how many decades? And they kept threatening to leave. If they want the crowds, if they want the sales, if they want bombs on the seats and proper racing, they'll cave. The rule makers will cave.
Yeah.
And we welcome Peter as well. Pete's having as much trouble getting in early as I am. But yes, we got that. Speaking that, you're on mute, Pete. But speaking now that the Peter's here, I was going to say we're looking forward to racing at Imola on the weekend for the Imola Grand Prix.
No one's racing
we
at
might
Imola.
Not, yeah, we
stroke,
might not be racing.
Stroke, bail,
come on,
bail.
Look at my caption. What's that caption say? Singing in the rain.
Could be it could be Shades of Spa 2020. I think it was 2020 or 2021.
Yeah, it's certainly looking. They've actually cleared the pit area because of course all the cars had arrived, all the teams had arrived and were setting up and getting everything ready in the paddock. And now they were evacuated from the paddock area. That the famous river that runs round the back of the circuit there is now running through the circuit, over the circuit, into the pits, into the garages, and apparently the forecast for the next few days. Up until the weekend. Now, Formula One, being Formula One, are saying no. We will be racing for the weather. The weather will clear.
No, not a problem. We're sweet.
It's going to be a drag boat.
Be under safety car.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't take all that much rain for them to jump up and say, "Oh no, it's too wet. We'll have to start behind the safety car and we'll run sort of 10 laps in single file because it's too wet." And now
I've always wondered with wet weather, why doesn't anyone run hovercrafts, a race of hovercrafts?
Or how about V8 utes? They're high enough.
Now forget about the V8 utes. Think about drifting a hovercraft through a bent corner.
That would actually improve the V8 utes.
Yes.
Look, they've been banging enough of them together. I don't think they need any more encouragement.
I'll add to the show then. Put some jumps in as well, though, too, so they can aquaplane over and go.
Wow, who's ever thought of that?
Well. I'll put my 5 cents in there.
Yes.
Put
some
jumps they in. Can jump Paul, over rivers.
Paul the Dude Morris will be over there. He'll grab a red eye jet across and get it. He'll be jumping all over the shop. Oh, the dude will be. Hello, yeah, so Paul, if you're watching.
Yeah, so it's good to think that Formula One will be back for the weekend, but it might not be back. But we've got a busy weekend anyway, because of course supercars are down at Tasmania, and I don't know what the weather forecast for Tassie is, but if it's anything like
14 tomorrow,
that's warmer than Melbourne.
And rain or showers like us, but yeah.
Yes, it should be either way. It'll be pretty cold and possibly pretty wet. But the supercars will be back down there. Also, as we said in the bottom, the Formula Fords will be down there. So the first time the Formula Fords have run there for about 10 years. So that'll be interesting. It's interesting that some of the people, Brad Jones in particular, but a few of the drivers as well, are
just
all saying
he's got his spare chassis this week too. Incidentally.
Yeah, and he's saying as well that this will be a really interesting test of the new cars because of the long straights, or particularly that long sort of curved back the section at fastback section at Simmons Plains. He's expecting that they'll hit sort of speeds that they haven't reached there in the past, and it will put a lot of strain on the braking and he expects a lot of mistakes, particularly on the Friday. As people find the new limits of adhesion there, because a lot of the drivers are saying that, they just, I heard an interview with, I'm just trying to think of who the driver was, but it was one of the super turns. It might have been Tyler Everingham, who's had some test drives for Tickford. And he was saying they really, the cars really do move around. If they wanted them to sort of, move around a bit and not be as glued to the ground as the old ones were, then it certainly worked, because he said they do slide around.
Yeah, they do. You can see
quite
it.
Quite a bit.
I saw it at the Grand Prix, and you can see it on the TV, like I said a few weeks ago. It's like the steering inputs are like from the 70s and the 80s, where they're really wrestling with it. It's good to see.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't hurt it.
They were saying that Dunlop are talking about building a new tyre. The tyres they're running at the moment are essentially the tyres they had in the past, but then they're now saying that for next year they are working on a brand new tyre, which will
extra super soft.
well, they're hoping that it will be grippier, but they're also hoping it will last a bit longer as well, because they were sort of saying that one of the problems, and this is one of the things that Michelin have now said for the reason they've pulled out of Super GT racing in Japan, is they've said, you know, the days of, you know, like, of coming in, getting a single, having really soft tyres, doing a single stint, coming into the pits, throwing them off and putting another set on and going away and then basically throwing out the old tyres, that's gone now, because they said we can't justify that waste anymore. We're looking for tyres that will offer good grip, that won't need tyre warmers to heat up to offer that good grip.
Oh, that's a hot
and will also last, you know, 80, 100, 200 kilometres of racing as well, because they said, and that's why they pulled out of Super GT, because they say it's not a viable laboratory for us anymore. It has no effect on our road tires, and we get better data and better information now out of things like the World Endurance Championship and the IMSA North American Sports Car Championship than we do out of Super GT. So that's why they've pulled out of it.
Mm. Watch that space for sure.
Yes, so new developments. That's coming up. But yes, the Nürburgring 24-hour this weekend. G'day to Christian if he's watching at all there. He was watching us. Got a message from him. He was watching us from the Nürburgring or from Germany last night, watching us record the show. So he's flagging there on the weekend, and he's getting ready for a big weekend at the Nürburgring 24 hours. There will be extensive coverage. Keep an eye out on the Inpit Lane website, inpitlane.com, and we'll have links and embeds of the action there. The English language commentary being done by the team from Radio Show Limited, our mates John Hindoff and all of his team who are there for the Nürburgring 24 hour. So 100 and I think it's 136. It's just down the bottom, but yeah, I think it's 136 cars are entered for that race, for the Nürburgring 24 hours. That, so, yeah, that'll be fantastic.
Don't blink, you'll miss a car.
Yeah, well, they do it. Well, it's a hell of a big track, so it sounds ridiculous, but when you look at it, it's, you know, it really isn't as bad as it sounds, but they'll be
just
there.
Make sure you're not blinking another 8 minutes later.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the laps are very long, so that'll be good. So that'll be something to keep you interested between the supercars and possibly
Formula
1. What
time does it start,
and
Australian time? Have you not?
It'll be Saturday night. Probably from memory, I think last year was around 9 or 10 o'clock on the Saturday night, and sort of finish. So it's pretty much ideal sort of viewing. You can watch a few hours on Saturday night, and then get up the next morning and flick it on and have it on in the background if you're not watching the supercars, of course. But you can watch the supercars, and then in the gaps or when anything you don't want to watch for too long, you can just flick it over and have a look. I'll probably have Nürburgring on the computer and have supercars on the telly with KO.
Multitasking.
It's interesting that Ferrari say they tried to get Newey. They've tried before, and they threw everything at the kitchens, everything including the kitchen sink, at him, and he knocked them back. So,
yeah, good call. Good call,
which is really surprising when you see the story, because you would think that somebody like Adrian Newey would, who is, apart from being sort of the best aerodynamicist and sort of Formula One designer in the world, he's also a passionate motorsport fan. He races historic cars himself, has quite the collection, and you would think at one stage that he would probably say, you know, I would like to design a Ferrari.
I look on the other side of the coin, Brett. I mean, what can they, other than like the word Ferrari, or it's a Ferrari, what can they possibly offer him that he doesn't already get from Red Bull already? I mean, money might not be an object now to a point in his life.
Money. They threw everything. They offered him a house. They offered him
But that's they, a, that's a, but yeah, that's why I think it's so unusual. I mean, because if you've got the option of saying, you know, like, you know, I designed Formula One cars, and say, yes, I designed, you know, the last Red Bull, or I designed a race winning a world championship winning Ferrari. I mean, Ferrari is a is an auto manufacturer and a great auto.
It must be
Red Bull is a soft drink company.
Yeah. It doesn't appear to be.
Well,
according to his book, I've just finished his book, and according to his book, it doesn't appear to be. And the last time, it was also about how much say he would get in.
That'd be the sticking point of Ferrari.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go and throw one more in as well too. How many years has Ferrari been around? What, 150 years? 230 years? What? I'm only making up silly numbers here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Ferrari's been around forever since
about 75. I think it was 75 just recently.
The Silver Arrows have been around whatever years. Audi's been around for whatever years. He can actually say that, even though it is as a so-called energy drink, Brett's saying, but who cares about that part? He has created and designed the car from absolute scratch himself, that he's probably had the most major input into with all the help of him. I'm sure he's very appreciative of everyone he's worked with and done it completely himself, and it will go on forever and go down in history as long as people are alive and interested in Formula One. He's done that. He hasn't had a base point from another manufacturer that he had to work from in the first place. He's created something from scratch.
There's really only the one thing that he hasn't done. And that's be the same as Jack Brabham, be the person who's running the team, driving the car, and has their name on the car.
Yeah, and I don't think we're ever going to see that. I don't think we're ever going to see that.
He doesn't want to do that.
And unless he wants to start his own team.
He's got no interest.
Yeah, well, what do you think of the book? As you said, you've been reading it sort of as you've been on the show sort of over the past few weeks. In quiet moments, you dive out the back and have your head buried in the book. So, what did you think of it? Would you recommend it, Pete?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It wasn't dry like you'd expect someone who has that technical background. It wasn't dry. There were technical drawings which. Some of them I struggled to understand, but he explained it really well, and it doesn't just go into how he designs things. It goes into his life, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, it's quite a popular book. I've seen it on Audible as well, and it's interesting you said that there are technical drawings in there. I mean, that's going to be something that's not going to come across in the Audible version of it. So I think if I was going to be looking at it, you'd want to get the book, but rather than the audio book of it. But
I have seen it in paperback. Yeah. I have seen it in paperback. I have the hardback one. I haven't seen.
Oh, so there's two versions, is there, Peter?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, so obviously the guys in the class of his own. I mean, they're pretty much all of the other team and team designers and chief engineers and team principals are all saying, look, it's basically it's Red Bull and then there's the rest, and it really is a battle of the rest, and Red Bull can just do what they do because they're going to win, and probably Max will win. Max will win 90% of the races, and when he doesn't, Sergio will pick up the other ones.
In 2021, there was a Lewis Hamilton experienced a bit of a dip. He was running away with it. Then he experienced a bit of a dip in the middle. So I wouldn't panic until maybe the summer break, because they're starting to bring upgrades. They're all starting to bring upgrades now from Imola, so I wouldn't start to panic until maybe the summer break.
The interesting thing is, because of the weather at Imola, there's a couple of the teams that said they're not going to use the upgrades now because they just said, look, whether we race or not, we know that it's probably going to be wet, so we don't really see any great point in doing it. So, but they've got it's a really tight run now, isn't it? I mean, they've got Imola, and then
Monaco, and then Spain.
And then Spain straight afterwards. So you've got three races in a row, Very, very hard for them, and they're not going. You would imagine if the improvements are principally aerodynamic, you would assume that they're not going to get a huge benefit of whacking them on for Monaco. So it might be they might even leave them to Spain now before we see some of those improvements, and hopefully
they're whacking them on. I wonder if they've how that petition for bringing the pom poms for every race is going along at the moment.
Well, I think if we thought Miami was bad, I reckon wait for Las Vegas.
Yeah,
I reckon it's going to be much worse. You reckon, Pete?
There'll be girls with like just feathers out of their hair and in their boas,
the feather boa. Pink flamingos everywhere.
Pink flamingos.
Borrowed from Miami, I suppose, as well, too.
And the other thing.
Waltzing waters. You know, the waltzing waters. Oh, God.
that's the Bellagio. Yeah, the Bellagio.
Yes.
With a huge Elvis church in the background.
Oh, that's what they've got. That's what they've got to do. Yeah, they've got to. The chief man has to be an Elvis Presley impersonator.
I've got to go, guys. I'm going across and it's going to start. I'm going to be their stylist for the weekend.
It'll be a laugh. It'll be hilarious. And the thing is, it's funny because I think it's Stefano Domenicali has been saying that. Basically, he's hit back at the criticism of the drivers and everybody else about the Miami thing by saying, you know, we've been far too, the sport has been, and he's right, he said, we've just been far too arrogant in terms of sort of, you know, of it becoming, because we've had this attitude that, you know, we are
Formula One, well, at the time.
We are just so superior to everybody else and nobody can, he said, and we went to America and it's like, who the hell are you? He said, and he said, if we want to get into that American market, we've got to do things the American way, and the American way is trashy.
Well, maybe they just don't need to show them on television.
As long as they don't start racing on ovals, I'll be fine.
Who the Ron Burgundy are you, Brett?
They've already done that.
You know, I could take it at task for that because there's a certain track in Italy that used to have a very fast oval.
Exactly.
Yes.
And should have it again.
And one in France as well that I was lucky enough to go to.
Speaking of tracks.
Before the World Championship day.
Got to get one in. The new Bataland Park track has opened as well too this week. Did everyone see that?
What's the one in Hungary?
Yeah, I think it might be, FIA completely brand spanking $170 million track. It looks pretty good from the outside. Obviously yet to be raced on by anything competent, but it's got some big wraps on the World Wide Web at this stage. There you go. I think I can see Stuart's brain ticking over here and going to find some stuff.
How does it compare with the one down at Avalon?
I can't do the counterfeit dollar translation because fluctuations.
Yeah, it's about $80 million cheaper than Avalon, and that's just the beginning. Avalon will be a lot more expensive. And it's interesting.
All the people will be paid off.
It's interesting already that I've heard on the news as I was coming home just before that the much vaunted and long promised rail link between Melbourne and the airport has now been indefinitely put on hold. again, because
I've never heard that before.
We were talking about that 2 weeks ago, Brett. Remember, I said Skybus is going to be the option. And here's a CSA for you. Skybus there's a fake website up at the moment scamming people at the moment. It was on the news tonight, so. You must go to skybus.com.au to buy your ticket specifically.
Incidentally, if you get a message from Facebook, or for everybody who's on Facebook, if you get a message saying, you know, be careful, you know, we've made some, your account has been hacked, we've solved the problem now, and all the rest of it, I made the mistake of putting up that message and saying that, and within the space of 4 minutes, I had nearly 700 700 responses from people I had never heard of saying, hey, we can solve your hacking problem. Our company is there. You come to us. Yes, we have got your hacking problem. You come to us or there will be trouble. And we have photos of you, my friend.
Yeah. We will fix your hack.
Here's a photo. There you go. Yeah.
We'll fix your hack by hacking you even more.
So just be very careful. I started to get some an awful lot of friend requests from people who had absolutely nothing to do. Hey, I'm from the University of Texas, and I want to be your friend. And it's like, why? I've got no interest in you.
A few of my posts lately as well, too, Brett, involved within Pit Lane, have actually got some nice comments from these lovely girls from overseas. And I'm thinking, why are you bothering to comment liking my posts? And they'll send me some nice messenger requests and friend requests. And I'm thinking, please, just go away. There you go. Thank you, Stuart, doing his finest work for the Full Course Yellow this evening. Got some great footage of the new track over at Battleland Park.
It looks interesting. They're also, I believe they're also, this is talking them actually building a drag strip there as well, but that's, it looks like a good area. Speaking of which, there's also been some stuff coming out today from people out at Calder Park about the work that's being done out there. They are doing some, track work. What worries me is there's lots and lots of painting going on.
Lots and lots of
patches. So they're certainly intending to race there later in the year, but at this stage, whether they'll be able to race that round of the Motorsport Australia the Victorian State Series, I don't know. But double ASA
there, Stuart.
Double ASA.
Still full screen, so I was wondering what was going on.
I know Brett hadn't switched you out. I'm thinking just do some Muppet Show stuff. You're looking around the corner.
Be more patches there than a 40-year smoker, I reckon.
Good call, Rich. That's a one from the deep. I like that one. That's good.
But the main thing is the high tech oils signs have all been painted, and they all look the walls all look very clean, and they've mowed the grass, and so there is some.
Yeah, just round it up. Don't
have you even look at it from the outside?
Kill it.
It looks like I Am Legend.
And watch, actually, you said to go and watch some stuff from an American drag racing team. And I did notice in the background that the tape around the tyres at the first light pole next to the drag racing is gone. Now, you know what this means? That light finally fell off.
Probably. Can I just say something? When someone brings up Calder Park, cue the jokes. Everyone just fires them off left, right.
It's not a Dulux upgrade. It's a Haynes paint, because one of the things they did show everywhere is that every second panel on the wall around the old Glowweave corner is paint provided by Haynes Paints. So they've got a
different
colour
paint chips every few feet.
Yes. Oh, that'd be colourful. Look, it looks in the photos. It looks $1 million. But one of the plans is over the winter break very soon is to contact Calder Park and see what the hell is happening. See if we get some straight answers, because they're definitely doing things out there. It was announced tonight that there's coming up, and I don't have the details because it was just as we were going to air. But there's a major sort of car show happening out there in a couple of weeks' time. I think it's on a Sunday between 10 and 4 or something. They're going to have a major sort of cruise event and car show happening there. The drifting is happening out there. Not sure. Well, at this stage, we're not going to see any. Unfortunately, not going to see any. Full competition drag racing. One of the questions I'd like to get answered, because obviously, we've got all the announcement with the new National Drag Racing Championship announced today, as we sort of predicted last week. Yes, the Seven Network have got the rights to the Australian National Drag Racing Championship. They're going to cover all of the events on their streaming platforms on both 7plus and 7mate. So that'll all be covered. It'll be live. It'll be free to air. So it's a huge boost for the sport. And once again, I've certainly put in a request for Andy Lopez or somebody from National Drag Racing Championship to come on board and have a chat with us on In Pit Lane in the next couple of weeks, because this is the most exciting news we've had for drag racing for a long, long time. And it would be really good if Victoria could be a part of it, because at the moment we're not even seeing any mention of Heathcote in any of the stuff that's come out as well. I mean, they had that one round at Heathcote, and then it's all gone very quiet, despite the fact that Heathcote Park is going gangbusters. You know, still there's something there every single week, even with the bad weather. They're just, you know, they're churning out. Tunes and off street meetings.
Well, they've got a good calendar, and it's all the way up to the end of the year. They update it every few weeks to make sure it's still up to date and people are well informed. So there's no problem there. I've got to throw another quick joke in. As you're saying, that Channel 7 have the rights to it. This is only a joke, Stuart. Expect an Uber van coming out to your place in the next few months. It'll have about 1,000 metres of wiring all delivered back to your place, mate, if you want some free stuff as well, too, for future OBs.
Actually, I'm noticing on the ticker there's a thing about the Finke race. I mean, at least those cars would be able to handle how rough the track is.
Yeah, that's a very... Now, we've got to be careful. We need to be very, very careful about this, because it is the subject of a coroner's inquest at the moment. And that's one of the reasons why, at this stage, Motorsport Australia have not given a permit for the car section of the Finke Desert race to continue. Now, the motorcycling section is going ahead, because that's separately accredited by Motorcycling Australia. They're the ones who, and they do have a permit. But while this inquiry is going on into the death of a spectator a couple of years ago, then everything seems to be on hold. And I have to say, if you have a look, if you read up the transcript and you see what is happening, the organisers of the race have done themselves no favours at all by their decision not to cooperate with that coronial inquiry. They have just basically said, no, we're not going to be a part of this. And the more you read, the more you think, oh, this isn't looking good, because there were lots of warnings that the potential for this to happen, and those warnings were apparently, it would appear that those warnings weren't heeded adequately. So at the moment, the coroner himself has described it as extraordinary, the fact that the people involved in the running of that event will not take part in the right inquiry.
Safety protections in the first place. Before we get on to too much running out of time, and everyone can read Knacker's comment down the bottom there. If you want to, MotoGP, just a quick little bit of insightful stuff. We do a big wrap of it on tomorrow night's show, so I'm not going to go too much into the results and the description of it, but have a check out the highlights package. It's really good. There are 7 bikes all thrashing it out at one stage, and a bit of cutting and weaving and really good fun. Nothing really untowards, nothing really bad taste in the mouth stuff for the riders. Bit of a disappointing with Jack Miller crashing out with only 3 laps to go when in a podium contention at the time. Could have gone a bit higher, but bad luck. But there's obviously some promising moves going on there at KTM, and it's not all doom and gloom like they said at the start of the year, where Jack will get angry and the team will get angry, and they'll get angry at each other, and one will threaten the other one, and Jack will either get sacked or he'll walk out the door. So it hasn't happened. The bike's performing really well, and the team's going
well. Jack's got to be very, because I mean he's going down too often. I mean, this is the problem. I mean, he was looking very, very good in both the sprint race and in the main race. Didn't think he was going to last either way on the on the sprint race. I think, you know, the choice of tyre. He seems to make the wrong choice of tyre more often than not. I mean, he'll put on a soft tyre when he should have a hard tyre, or a hard tyre when he should have the soft tyre on. But either way, he crashed out and didn't finish in both the races on the weekend, in both the sprint and in the Grand Prix. And he's very angry with himself. He said he was absolutely pissed off with his failure to finish both races, and he's got to have a really good look at that, because, you know, we know that, all things considered, that he's obviously a very, very fast rider, and the KTM is performing a lot better than a lot of people expected, particularly on the weekend at Le Mans, which is very much on the Bugatti circuit. He was, it's obviously a favourite of his, and he was very impressive again.
Read that the Emilia, the Imola Grand Prix has been cancelled.
That makes sense. So there will be no Grand Prix this weekend at Imola as a result of the flooding.
Shall I break into song, just as my prediction is below me? Yeah. Just quickly though, there is some huge news in the motorcycle industry news today, in the world today. So Honda, Yamaha, Kawasaki and Suzuki have all just been given ministerial approval over there, obviously probably in Japan. Now, everyone, contentious as it is, and I know Stuart's got a very strong opinion on this, and I back him up on a lot of that, strangely enough, but with cars, and you've got obviously electrified cars going around these days, and hydrogen power as well, though, too, and everyone's going in renewables and what it is, and the four motorcycle manufacturers are going to get together, and they're going to form a technological research association called HYSE, which is Hydrogen Small Mobility and Engine Technology. And they're going to get together and they're going to try and as a whole, as a group, which is fantastic to see them all working together, and develop a hydrogen motorcycle down the track. Because obviously, if it was going to be battery powered, it would be way too heavy and uneconomically sound and environmentally. That's really good news. That's big for the motorcycle world. It may not happen. It might 10 years, it might peter out, and if something else might happen, or 20 years, we might actually see it. But anyway, it's out there.
What's wrong with hydrogen?
It's worth investigating, and it's pretty big news. The other last one as well, too, I'll throw a controversial one, is Yamaha. They're always whinging, but they're saying the FIM. When are they going to throw out some decent penalties at people, and why are you picking us all the time as well, too? So anyway, have a look at the race from Le Mans on the weekend. It's fantastic to watch, and just don't get too caught up in the government.
It was a good race and a fabulous fabulous crowd. If you think that was a big crowd, I think one of them was 270,000 or something. The crowd for the 100th anniversary. The crowd for the 100th anniversary Le Mans 24-hour coming up in a few weeks' time. Complete sellout on every day. Expected to be over 400,000. So yeah. So that's
another 130. Hold my
beer.
I was going to say, I think the record crowd at Le Mans for the bikes was 270, so it's another 130,000 more. There you go.
Yeah, coming to us live. So we've got car cam, we've got in car camera footage from Dave going.
Yeah.
Dave going to the McDonald's drive-thru.
Driver's eye view.
I'll have a caramel sundae, please, Stilly.
Yeah. Can I have fries with that?
No, you don't need the success ballast, Richard.
Yeah, so true.
Why in time tomorrow, Richard?
So what are your plans for you're not going down to Tassie or anything, Dave, are you? Or
no, I won't be part of the Motorsport Australia volunteer crew that helps put that event on, but I wish them all the best. As we discussed before, it'll certainly be fresh from a weather perspective. So anyone out on the track post, please make sure you take your cold weather gear, or as it's known in Tasmania, weather gear. I'll actually be enjoying a weekend off for a change, but getting ready for the third round of the Vic State Race Series, of course, being brought to us by PIARC the weekend following, which I'm sure we'll preview in next week's show.
Yes, we'll and we'll also have something. We haven't organised anything yet, but we will have preview this next week. Not obviously not this season, but yes, on next week's In Pit Lane, which incidentally is the last of our studio shows for this season. For various reasons, we've had to leave the studio a bit. Some of you are going on holidays. I mean, the studio crew are going on holidays. Some of us are going to work right through winter. So
I'm going on holidays. Oh, that's right. I'm always on holidays.
Can we go to spa this year, Brett, for the holidays instead of going to? Can we go to a race this year?
Yeah, I'd like to do this. So, as I said to the guys the other night in the crew, they said, "What are you going to do over the winter?" I said, "There's going to be. I'm warning people now. There's going to be lots and lots of stories from Sandown and from workshops around the Dandenong area because." I don't have the money to be cruising all over the place. People are going, oh, you're coming up to Winton, you're coming up, you're going to come up and do this, you're going to come over to the Bend, you're going to do, no, we don't have the money to do that, but there will be stuff happening around Victoria during the winter break, and that will continue on Channel 31 every week, and of course we'll still be doing this stuff. Of course, we've got the lead up to Le Mans as well, so we've got some big plans for the preview to the Le Mans 24-hour race.
That's not Battle and Park.
I'm actually reading it. It does say Collar Park. Yeah, what are you doing, Stuart?
I was just looking for satellite photos, and it turns out that there's a government-run page that's got satellite photos that are less than 90 days old. That's the Thunderdome.
Let's go over to the circuit and see if we can see anything.
It looks like Soylent Green.
I was going to say, corporations are buying their environmental credits there because everything's green there and they're obviously growing a lot of stuff there at the moment so they can get their carbon credits. Carbon credits are cold upon going fast.
Yes.
Quick sale, get your carbon credits here.
It still looks like
it looks like zombie land.
Paul pointing out also, yes, the historic Winton is coming up. Which is interesting. I haven't heard much about that. We don't get a lot of they don't put out a lot of PR stuff. Every now and again, you get something, but it's a really good meeting. If you haven't done the May Historic Winton, it's a very, very different meeting to the Phillip Island Historic Classic or to Sandown or even to the August VHRR. Historic Winton. The May one is just run on the short circuit, and it's also got bikes as well. And that's always good. It's a really great weekend. They have a really good sort of car show. They get a really good crowd to it as well. So that's coming up, and I believe that's going to be live streamed this year as well. So that's coming up. The historic Winton coming up in a couple of weeks. Time as well. That's they need something really green to fix the Thunderdome. They need lots of
Doesn't that normally ooze out of turn three and on a wet day?
Yes, it'd be interesting. Yes,
nuclear waste.
Going to do with that.
Yes,
nuclear waste there. Anyway.
At the bottom.
But anyway, that's what Calder Park looks like at the moment. I've got to try and contact Rowan Harmon. He's the guy who's sort of in charge there now. He's been put in charge of the.
Just let me zoom out for 1 second, so everyone can see where the drag track is, right? Where the mouse is moving.
Yep.
Okay. Just so you know, this is
exit stage left,
a raised section, and there's how close to the homes it is.
The track was built in the 1950s, and those houses weren't there.
Living that close when there's a top fuel drag race happening?
Yes.
I have two words for you, and they are Latin. Caveat emptor.
Yes.
I should also point out that the top of the Thunderdome is under the flight path, so that's why this area is still green, because planes fly over it taking off.
Yeah, look, it's I can't see the long-term future is going to be interesting, because as you say, when you have a look at that shot that you've got there, you can see all those houses. Across the road is the national park, so that's not going to be sort of built on at all. But if you go down, if you sort of scroll down back towards the city, and you see that, I mean, look at that. I mean, that is just that is just massive, massive housing there. It's not just a few houses. It's a big, big, big suburb.
It is creeping. It's called urban creep.
And, oh, look, there's an airport that
that's
runs
what
almost
you say about me.
Well, yes, it's a wonder they're not screaming about. It's a wonder they're not screaming about that, because obviously, if you're under the flight path of some things. But anyway, let's see airport. What happens with Colmo.
Moving along.
Over here, there's normally really good food at night time.
I've heard that. I have
food trucks. Yeah,
that's the solar panels.
Jam donuts as well.
I've never been. I've heard a lot of airplane, because I'm not an airplane spotter. I'm not really. Airplanes are things to get me to where I want to be. I don't really care about watching them jump up and jump down
again. Oh, the Avalon Air Show was brilliant this year. I obviously went for the 4 days. That was absolutely excellent. So when you get close to them.
Paul is saying it lives 5 kilometres away, and the top fuel sounds. As you see, we've got some stock footage there of Stuart 3D.
Well, you mentioned planes, and it's like, I went there.
Oh, that's right. You're doing a wing, aren't you? Yes. But anyway, so Paul's saying lives 5 kilometres away. Yeah, so the proposed fourth runway is in line with the track, and that's what they've always said, that there won't be any more construction out there. Also, Roy is, of course, saying that he also lived near in Keilor Downs. They're in no real position to whinge too much about noise out there, because it was the colder part cow paddocks for years.
There's a reason that the land was cheap out there.
Exactly.
And isn't a lot of that land zoned industrial anyway?
Mark is just asking, is there still a place to view at the other side of the airport? Did anybody know that, Richard or Stuart or something?
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
The other side of the airport? Yeah, I think there is. But there's no van there for the food.
Yeah.
Yes, I go past it occasionally when I'm heading out that direction. It's near Oaklands Park. I drive past it quite regularly out there. There is another view.
What I want to know, Stuart, is what are you doing hanging around the airport late at night where there are food?
Generally on the way back from something else.
Yeah, well,
moving along from something else. Speaking of something else, I got something else to do right now, because we've come to the end of the program tonight. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I had a good chat tonight. Be watching tomorrow night, 9 o'clock on Channel 31. Great show with Michael Clemente, and also with our musical guest, Ishan. Also, watch on demand on the In Pit Lane YouTube channel. You'll get a bonus song from Ishan, and also some extended interviews with Michael as well, talking a bit more about his weekend and about the future of TCR racing in Australia and his involvement. I mean, basically, he's decided that that's sort of the path that he wants to go in, and the international appeal of TCR is something that he's very interested in. So you'll find out more about that watching tomorrow night on In Pit Lane On Demand. That's at 9:30 on the In Pit Lane YouTube
channel. One last community service announcement. Next week's show, Brett, we do have a special segment. It's called Watch Brett Shed a Tear, because Carlton plays Collingwood this weekend, and the Baggers are going to rip in the shreds. And I love that. So, car the Blues, go Bad luck, Clive.
Can I just say, Doc, and I'm sure Peter will join me in he will agree with me in this. Can I just say thank you so much to the coach staff and playing staff of the Carlton Football Club for all the wonderful entertainment that they're giving us at the moment. It's just marvellous. Thank you to their very loyal supporters.
Cannon fodder. We're just cannon fodder, I tell you. Absolutely.
If I could say thank you to Box for his comment, the Nuremberg 24 hour, that certainly sounds like a big trial for the auto brand, doesn't it?
I was going to say, it sounds like a trial.
I love it. Well done.
Yeah. I could actually pick up my word. At least he didn't punctuate Nuremberg. That might be some weapons in itself.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Mark. Looking up there undercarriage. That's what they call it.
I think that's an excellent note. I got my one joke in. I think that's a good night to
I think so too. So it's good night from Mark, folks. It's good night from me, and it's good night from him. See you next week, everybody. Good night.
Watch out for the wastewater coming from the plains in that viewing area.
Can I swear you?